On slow news days, we'll do what all news networks do: speculate, make stuff up, and just talk about nonsense. This is the January British Touring Car News Update.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are, of course, back for 2026. Have you had a good new year so far?
Yeah, it's been a long January.
It's been a long January with not a lot of news.
No, I've been doing dry January, so it's felt a lot longer than before. I was checking, I've got my microphone on. It's been a while. I do have my microphone on. That's good.
Yeah, we've got a few bits of news to update you with. Not as much as we were probably expecting, as some of you have already speculated to. It's been a very quiet January so far.
But the big news coming out of British Touring Car Podcast headquarters, if you see us trackside this year, we have a flag.
We do. A proper sized flag.
A proper sized flag. Well, are you suggesting that my initial Timu flag purchase was of small proportions, maybe? It's what you do with it that counts, though.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we're going to bring you up to date with all the news so far. We hope you're all well in 2026, and we'll be looking ahead towards the 2026 season. We'll bring you news updates when and however they come to us, either through our social media. And if you're not already subscribed over there, go and do that now.
Right, so we'll start off with the TBL allocations. We've probably touched on this sometime in the depths of 2025. However, just to quickly run over what we do know. So we've got 26 licenses given out. And for those who might be new to the series this year, to race in the touring cars, you must have what's called a TBL license, which are issued by the governing body of TOCA. And these effectively allow you to race within the sport. So the teams tend to buy them. Alliance Racing, also known as NAPA, have got four. Accelerate Motorsport, or Virtue as they were last year, have got four. One Motorsport making a return as it stands with two. Plato Racing, who we know as a new entrant for this season, has two. Powermax Racing, who we know are running Audis for this upcoming season, have got three. I'll come back to that in a minute. Speedworks Motorsport have got four. Unlimited Motorsport have got two. And West Surrey Racing, or BMW, have got three, which equates to 26. Now, it's key just to point out at this stage, just because you have a license, it does not mean you have to fulfill it,
right,
or run it or use it. Some people use it to then sell on to other teams to raise money for the team as a whole. I think we've seen Aidan Moffat do that in the past when he's licenses, etc. And you can loan them out to other teams. So if WSI decides they wanted to run a fourth and PMR are only running two, they could loan a TBL off of the surplus. So this gives an overview to what we might expect, but don't necessarily be surprised if it's not what we get.
Yeah, I mean, last season we did have one motorsport sort of like depart halfway through the season due to issues behind the scenes. And from this, it looks like they want to come back for 2026. But for me, there's a little bit of question over, one, whether they will, what cars they will come back with, and again, whether they'll be able to complete the full season.
They are looking for mechanics, though, on advertising for jobs. So it gives all the indications that they're coming back. One thing we do know is that Speedworks Motorsport are using at least two of their four, because they have announced an exciting new partnership with MB Motorsport, who were the team behind Jake Hill and the Laser Tools car last year and the year before.
Yeah, we know that Jake left the series, unfortunately, at the end of last season, has gone on to do more international GT racing. And there were speculation over to whether MB were going to stay with BMW or whether they were going to move on, and we now know that they have moved on and they've been very quick to sign up their drivers for 2026.
Yep, so we know they're going to be racing the Toyota Corolla out of the Toyota garage, and we know that they have got Aaron Taylor Smith staying at the team. He was, of course, with Speedworks last year, but in the Toyota livery. And they've kept Gordon Shedden on as well, which I think makes a lot of sense, because towards the end of the season, Shedden was certainly getting a lot of joy out of that car. And they've now come together as... It's an interesting departure of what MB Motorsport was initially about, in my mind. It was about finding young, up-and-coming talents and potentially elevating them into a competitive car. We saw it with Jake Hill, obviously. Yep. We saw it to a degree with Aidan Moffat when he had the Laser Tools, albeit not the MB backing. And I think from previously, Watson was an MB Motorsport driver. So it's a little bit of a departure away from that side of things. However, it's an interesting and potentially fruitful partnership with a three-time champion.
It's a very experienced lineup, and a lineup, if they keep the right engine, should I say, for next season, I would expect them to probably take race wins and several podiums along the way, as long as too much doesn't change behind the scenes with the form that they ended the season with.
Absolutely. So we've mentioned a few things about 2026, but where are we going throughout this season? The calendar is out, and all the dates for your diary are here. So Sam, there's been a few tweaks in the calendar this year. Nothing major. We're still getting the Dorito that is Silverstone rather than the more exciting ones. We're not going to Mondello Park. We're not going anywhere else that we've not been for years. We are sticking to the usual 10 tracks, but there's a change in the order.
Yeah, so most importantly, you'll all be wanting to know where Media Day is, first of all. That will be held at Brands Hatch again this year. There will also be a pre-season test at Croft as well, which I think is a really good circuit for a pre-season test. Because of how you've got those intricate bits on the infield, and then you've got a long outfield around the back of the circuit.
Absolutely. Media Day is on the 8th of April, and that is at Brands Hatch, as Sam has said. It's always free entry, so if you are about on that day, it's an interesting day to go along. What I will say is do not go expecting all the merch, all the bits and pieces off the track. You might find a coffee kiosk open. You might be able to get a panini for £17.50. but you will get two massive test sessions where you will see the cars turn their first wheels in anger.
And hopefully the majority of the drivers, although that's not always guaranteed. And do keep an eye out for the weather, because we've had some wet days at Brands for testing of the week.
Yeah, and there's normally a little pit lane walkabout as well. You get a chance to meet the drivers and get your autographs ahead of the massive swells you get during the main season. But just on that point about rain, Brands has got nowhere to hide. So if you're going to go nearer the time, just keep an eye on the weather. And
I still remember that pre-season that we went to,
You've never seen half-horse jeans like that, have you?
It's ridiculous. But the calendar for 2026 then, the 18th and 19th of April is where we will be starting, and we'll be starting at the Donington National Circuit.
So the shorter one.
Yeah, we will then be moving on the 9th and 10th of May to the Brands Hatch Indy Circuit, again, the shorter version. And then my birthday weekend, 23rd, 24th of May, will be at Snetterton. Moving on into June, 6th and 7th, we'll be at Alton Park before we go off to Thruxton for the 25th and 26th of July.
So those two have swapped around, haven't they? Because normally Thruxton, Alton, and this year it's Alton,
yeah,
Thruxton.
And a decent size break between those two as well. We'll then be off to up to Knockhill in Scotland on the 8th and 9th of August.
Which is really early for Knockhill to be on the calendar.
That could be warm at least.
Yes, well, not...
Then we're back to Donington Park for the GP circuit on the 22nd and 23rd of August.
Which again is really early for that, because that tends to be the penultimate round, doesn't it?
Yep. And then Croft has moved back quite significantly.
It's very late.
5th and 6th of September. I think we could see a bit more weather there, which could make it a bit more interesting.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good circuit, as we've discussed, but that is very late. Croft is normally the signal of summer for touring car fans, it's very much not this year.
Moving into late September then, 26th and 27th, where we'll be off to your favourite Silverstone at the National Circuit.
Well, you've heard my views on this. There's a lot more potential than the one we have to race around. Yeah.
And then we'll be finishing off the season on the 10th and 11th of October in the traditional...
Are they to the corner of Silverstone?
No.
Has that always been like that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It looks a lot more interesting on the map outline than in real life. Then.
Yeah, so we'll be ending the season at the Donington GP as we normally do. That's what I meant, sorry. Brands Hatch GP circuit to round off the season, where hopefully we'll have an exciting title decider once again.
Absolutely. Right, we'll cover the news that everybody's gone crazy for next. It certainly exploded our social medias.
It took its time to come, though, didn't it?
Well, yes and no. It was basically a pretty worst-kept secret that Plato was running Mercedes. There's a little bit of debate online and round about the socials, etc., to what kind of Mercedes he'd be using. And basically, I think he's looked at the Hyundai and gone, that's quick. What can I use as a similar shape? And he's found himself the Mercedes CLA coupe rather than the hatchback.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Mercedes run a coupe. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's going to be just as an independent entry with no manufacturer backing.
It's Plato, as you never know.
Exactly. And
have we ever seen a saloon Mercedes in the touring? Because I don't think we have. I think this is the first time I'm going to have a saloon car. We've never seen the C-Class.
No.
In my lifetime, anyway, there might have been the old, like the DTM style in the 80s with the dogleg gearbox, etc., which, according to James May, Martin Brundle said was the greatest rear-wheel drive chassis on the road. But in terms of our era of touring cars...
Not in modern era, since sort of like NGTC spec have we seen a Merc like this. So it'll be interesting to see, one, how it acclimatises to the championship. We still don't know what big sponsors Plato echoed towards in October, September last year, that he was bringing along with him. We obviously know there's some sort of colour scheme that involves that deep purple, as his logo shows.
Have you seen his Twitter this week?
I haven't.
So he has said that he expects to be in a position within the next 2 weeks to give a lot more information.
Yes, but he said that before.
Well, there is that. There is that, of course. But yeah, so we don't know who's driving for him at the moment.
Yeah, no.
All we know, we don't know what the sponsors are. As you say, there's a lot of purple on his trainers and on his logo, so we'd expect a level of purple on the car.
Yeah.
As for the drivers, we don't know.
Plenty of speculation. Leave your thoughts down in the comments. But yep.
There's one account on Twitter that is absolutely steadfast that it's Morgan and Rowbottom.
I don't think Rowbottom's a bad shout.
No, I think
Looking
Rowbottom's,
at how yeah. his Napa season ended, shall we say,
yeah.
last year.
And the brand relationship with Mercedes from
exactly, and he
year.
Knows Plato fairly well. They've done plenty of quick fit bits and pieces together on YouTube, so it wouldn't surprise me
to see
him move across. But it's going to be really interesting to see who that other driver could possibly be.
Completely agree. And in this era of Mercedes, it's a front wheel drive, isn't it? This version.
It
so, it's, so it's also quite interesting that a few seasons ago, a lot of teams were looking at rear wheel drive. You know that Napa were exploring the boundaries of a rear wheel drive car at some point.
Possibly even a Jaguar.
But that looks like that's now completely gone off the radar. So maybe the dominance maybe of the rear wheel drive cars, or the clamour for a rear wheel drive car, has certainly started to fade out a little bit in what I think is more an engine dominant era of regulations in the sport. It's now, if you, as we saw the Toyota, if you put a good engine in a good car that's got everything you need for it, it will go well. If you put a bad engine in the car, it will go terribly. And Toyota proved that last season spectacularly.
Yes, it was quite amazing the difference that they had halfway through the season when they swapped back to the Toyota spec engine and were able to improve their results almost tenfold,
absolutely.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I assume he is going to run a Toyota setup engine-wise, because it's a base standard that he kind of knows what results he should get and what performance goals he should get from it.
Plus, don't forget, from next year, when the regs slightly tweak, you can then run other brand engines in your other brand car. So
it's going to confuse things majorly.
A lot would make sense for this season, as your start season, to get, as you just said there, the baseline of what you can expect from the components in the car and everything.
Understand before, the aero of it all, and then you can move into
before looking
to
next year and going, right, we're going to stick a Ford powertrain in this or whatever.
Here's a thought for you. Do you think he's going to be looking, obviously Plato, the serial winner that he is, do you think he's going to be looking to take victories?
Yes.
Do you reckon it's going to be, okay, in the first half of the season, we'll look to take podiums, take consistent results and score points, or do you reckon he's going right in at the top?
Not right in the top. Jason Plato is your typical disruptor, isn't he? So he fits the mould perfectly, and that's a compliment. That's not a dig at him at all, but he is a disruptor. He has always been that way. I think he'll be realistic and know that also the calibre of drivers he's like to have, he's not going to have Sutton or Ingram in the car, and those two are, I don't care who you bring in, they are going to be the top two to beat this year. I don't think that's a massive claim to make.
No.
I don't think he's going to be bringing in the next level driver, so your Camish is, obviously your Hill's no longer in it. So
arguably, Rowbottom was kind of at that standard.
But he fell away. My point is that even if, the only way I think that Plato will come into the series thinking he's got a realistic chance at the championship is if he can bring in that top level driver, which I don't think he will be doing in his first season in. However, in true disruptor and Plato form, he will be targeting wins. He'll be targeting mixing it into the big boys, mixing and being best of the rest, podiums.
Race three victories.
And also just trying to get, you know, we've seen it. If you can get, as the season goes on and the wonderful rules around tyres and boost allocation or whatever the new system's going to be affects qualifying. If they can start to get the cars into the top six, I suppose that doesn't matter now because it's sprint qualifying.
I think one thing we can almost guarantee with Plato coming back into the sport is there's going to be a lot of clamour around the
team. Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly in the opening weekends and at test days. It'll be
the busiest
like that.
Pit in the walkabout.
Yeah. People are always going to want, no matter really who the drivers are that are there, people are going to want that first season back. Plato's there.
Yeah.
Get me the autographs of the drivers, get me their merchandise, and it's going to bring a big boost into the sport, I hope.
And also, he knows what he's doing. This is not like you or I deciding, oh, let's run a team. This is not like the...
It's a great idea.
It's not like the Wrexham documentary, which has worked despite it not... It shouldn't. Everything about Wrexham shouldn't work, but it does.
Yeah.
and it's not going to be Sunderland Till I Die, where you get a load of people who have got no idea about football taking over a football club and it goes terribly wrong. Plato knows what he's doing in this arena. I don't necessarily think they will be at the top straight away, but I don't think they'll be so far off it either. I think they'll be middling, and as the season goes on, they will improve and get into that top spectrum, ready for a 27 assault.
And of course, something that he's already alluded to, there will be a documentary to go with this first year at Plato Racing. It'll be interesting to see how they release that, whether they're going to do it Netflix style at the end of the season, or whether they're going to drip feed it throughout the season, like we see with the behind the scenes for Ingram.
Absolutely. Talking of which, the new season on the limit starts next week, I think it is.
Yep.
At time of recording. Right, moving away from Plato, the last real bit of news, other than we've got a new sporting director, which, anyway, is that Lloyd will not be on the grid for the 2026 season. He's taken the, what I'm sure is a very difficult decision, to focus on his business interests for this year. And look, I can't blame him. We all know that the sport doesn't pay the money like it used to, or like F1 does, or anything like that. He's got an opportunity to secure his future for the next 30 years rather than the next 12 months. Yep. And he's focusing on that. Understandable. Wish him all the best in that and hope to see him back for 27.
It strikes me as slightly bonkers, being the fact that he's independent champion with what he would probably have had an offer from.
Oh, yeah. I'd have thought restart with
independent teams champion, yeah. Going, right, let's come back for 2026. Oh, yeah, let's go and do it again, sort of thing.
And it seemed he had got the budget together to do it. You know, it's not like he, in his reasoning, he didn't say, oh, it's a budgetary issue. He's said, no, it's a business driven decision.
So I hope it doesn't backfire on him. We've seen plenty of drivers take a sabbatical from the sport and not come back the season after, Shedden being one of them. Mm. But hopefully we'll see him back in 27 with the new regulations, and hopefully he'll hit the ground running then as well.
Be interesting to see who restart replace him with. Do they go young? Mm. Do they look at somebody like Sumpton, who was there the year before, and give him another shot in the car? Or do they find somebody like a Bobby Thompson and Michael Creese, who you would suggest would fit in there quite nicely?
I think they'll probably look for someone who may have even driven the Hyundai before, because I think they should fit comfortably into that surroundings. The team know what they're doing with that car now.
Zelos.
It would be lovely to see him back, and I certainly think he deserves it. And if for whatever bonkers reason Proctor doesn't get offered a drive by Accelerate, he'd be mad to turn down an offer from Restart.
Agreed. Right, the last sort of bit of news is that Rainford is basically back for 26. Yeah. We don't know this for sure, but there is an article out on the Touring Car website where he's looking forward to the 2026 regulations. Unless he's doing it as a fan. I mean, I'm not looking forward to the 2026 regulations. So, you know, maybe he's looking at it from a fan's point of view. But the tone of the article seems to suggest that Rainford will be back for the 2026 season. Where? Not confirmed. You'd imagine BMW, but we don't know.
I'm going to throw a curveball in there for you as well.
Go on.
Knowing that De Leon didn't get through the Porsche scholarship program, I would probably expect him to be back in 2026 as well.
I would.
Although no rumours or anything have been confirmed around that, but the fact that he didn't win that scholarship.
No, but I think also that won't be his only offer on the table.
No,
this is a talent that I think will attract teams from GT series, from various different disciplines, to be honest with you.
WSR, I think, are going to want that statement driver, and it would show a bit of consistency and a bit of support.
Yeah, but if he's going to have to run it off his own money, as we assume was the case last year because of the lack of sponsorship on the car.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot to be discussed, found out around that. I wouldn't be shocked if he is back there. I wouldn't be shocked if he's in another series either. Yeah, that's the way I look at De Leon for 2026.
One thing I must say is thank you for all the support so far on social media. We can't quite believe what happened to our post on Facebook for the Plato announcement having 100,000 views, which is mega, absolutely mega. Do let us know your thoughts down in the comments as to what drivers are going to be filling those seats at Plato Racing and what other drivers you'd like to see on the grid for 2026.
Absolutely. Now, before we go, annual or bi-monthly or whatever it is, a regular reminder that this is an independent touring car podcast. We are not backed by any big sponsor, or indeed any sponsor.
Our own sponsor.
We are our own sponsors. We are our own content creators. We are our own editors. We are our own script writers, although we don't write scripts. So if you enjoy the content, and even if you don't really, you've got this far, so why would you not? Drop a like, drop a subscription, drop a comment, share with a mate, talk about down the pub, or the yoga class, or wherever else you may spend your free time, and help us grow the pod for 2026.
Yeah, and if you want to sponsor us, just message us. We're open to offers.
Yes, hello. Yes. We'll leave that for the DMs.
But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with another video again soon.
Until we speak again. On Slu- we should test it. Right. And again.